Lesson 10, Unity of the Church. The religious world today seems to be more concerned than ever with the unity of the church. The ecumenical movement has caught the imagination of man everywhere. The reason for this is because there is so much religious division in the world, and one and all are tired of it. And yet, unity can never be brought about with the religious bodies of men agreeing to disagree. The division will still be there in spite of the fact that there may be some degree of union or harmony. So, what is the answer? The answer lies in the Bible itself. In order for true unity to exist, men must lay down their teachings, doctrines, names, churches, creed books, etc., and pick up the Bible, read and study it, believe it, and obey it. Then there can be genuine unity, the kind the Lord prayed for in John 17. When men do this, they will all believe the same thing, all obey the same teachings, all wear the scriptural name, all work together, all teach the same thing, and all go to heaven together. It will be so simple for unity to exist when man quits following man and begins to follow Christ. The scriptures condemn division. The Bible says that God hates those who sow division or discord among the brethren, Proverbs 6, verse 19. In 1 Corinthians 1, we are told of the church at Corinth becoming divided. Instead of commending this sort of thing, the Apostle Paul took immediate steps to destroy the root cause of it. He began by saying, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Then he proceeded by asking three questions, any one of which would show the fallacy of their action. The questions were, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? In all three instances, they would have to answer in the negative. Therefore, he showed the absurdity of their divided condition. The same Apostle Paul wrote the brethren at Rome, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. In Colossians 2, verses 20 through 22, he says, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men?" All of this is to say that the teachings of men, the doctrines and commandments of men, exalting men, accepting and following books other than the Bible, are things that cause division. On the other hand, unity can be had and enjoyed only as one follows Christ. It was Christ who prayed, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." John 17, verses 20 and 21. Now, did Christ pray for the impossible? No. Surely then there can be unity. When we follow Christ. Man-made teaching will divide us, but Bible teaching will unite us. In Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6, we have a formula for unity. Listen to it. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Notice that this is a plea for unity. Notice, too, that there is but one of each of the things listed. Whoever got the idea that there was more than one? The unity of the church is seen in that Christ said he would build his church. Matthew 16, verse 18, meaning one, that it is his spiritual body, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, and that he is the head of it, Colossians 1, verse 18. Surely, one would not accuse Christ of having two bodies or two heads. The church is also pictured as the house of God or the family of God, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. But how many houses or families? One, of course, we read of the kingdom of Christ or the kingdom of God with Christ as king. John 3, verses 3 through 5, Colossians 4, verse 11, 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. How many kingdoms does the Lord have, and how many kings are there? Just one in either case. Surely the Bible is opposed to the very thought of denominationalism, that which is division. On the other hand, it pictures unity, oneness, completeness, and wholeness. While the Bible does not picture the church as being a mystical body made up of all religious people, regardless of their beliefs and practices, it does picture the church as belonging to Christ, made up of those called out, those who have followed Christ, and who have obeyed his teaching, the saved. Christ is not divided, and neither is his church divided. To be divided or to uphold division in any way is to oppose Christ and that for which he prayed. Questions. Please give correct answers. Number one, is there any plea today concerning the unity of the church? Number two, what is the reason for so much interest in unity? Number three, can unity ever be brought about with religious bodies agreeing to disagree? Number four, what is the answer to unity? Number five, what must men lay down for there to be unity? Number six, who prayed that we might all be one? Number seven, what will be the result of unity? Number eight, do the scriptures condemn division? Number nine, who does the Lord hate? Number 10, quote 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. Number 11, give the three questions that Paul asked the church at Corinth. Number 12, what group of people are to be marked? Number 13, who do they serve? Number 14, are we to avoid them? Number 15, who is it that worships the Lord in vain? Number 16, for what did Christ pray? Number 17, did he pray for the impossible? Number 18, give the formula for unity. Number 19, how many are there of each? Number 20, how many churches did Christ build? Number 21, what is the church? Number 22, who is its head? Number 23, does Christ have more than one body or more than one head? Number 24, how many families does the Lord have? Number 25, will God's word unite us or divide us?